Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. We got Ross Swish on the podcast today. Nice to have you in here, man.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, so you're from Canarsie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Talk to me a little bit about your upbringing and what it was like growing up over there.
I mean, it's regular street shit. It's like, for me, you deal with the everyday life of being in the hood, being from the streets and seeing regular street shit. So I feel like that's mainly it right there.
Right. I mean, I lived in Bushwick from 2005 to like 2010. So that's a very different part of Brooklyn, though. As it's been described to me, Canarsie's on some old other shit. I lived in Brooklyn for that long. I never went there one time. So it's like, it's a whole different planet, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that because you're from, you know, the floss, you know, from getting money. So you step over there, you step in different parts of Brooklyn, you'd be like, all right, nah, it's different. But we do our thing.
But so growing up in Canarsie, did it seem like that was a place where, like, was there any, like, are there any, like, famous rappers from there? Or do you feel like this was kind of the first wave?
Nah, like, it is really the first wave of rappers from Canarsie doing their thing and really doing it on a big level.
Right. Okay. So what about, like, when did you start to get in the mix? Like, did you start rapping first, or were you more, like, just on some street shit before that? Or how did this unfold?
I definitely say, like, for me, everybody growing up in the hood, you know, your first resort is street shit. That's what you know. You feel me? You see that every day. But I started rapping around, like, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started becoming, like, somebody in Brooklyn around, like, 2016. That's when it was like, all right, for me, yeah, the hood know me and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm known for doing this shit.
And you knew Pop before you even started rapping, or did that come about once you started rapping?
I knew Pop before he started rapping.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was my dogs before he started rapping.
So from, like, what age? Or yeah, how long ago were you guys cool?
I met him in 2018, the very beginning of 2018, like, right after New Year's.
Okay.
I remember 2018 and shit. And then, you feel me, that's when he started telling me, like, yo, bro, I'm going to rap.
And he hadn't even actually recorded yet? He was just thinking about it?
Nah, he ain't had no songs. Nah, he ain't been in the studio, none of that shit. So, but he was just always on it, like, yo, bro, I'm going to rap.
Right.
And I was like, ah. Right,
and me? You were a little bit ahead of him? Like, you had already been fucking with the music side of things?
Yeah, like, I already had a little name in the hood and shit around Brooklyn. So, you feel me, niggas knew me. And then once he started, you know what I mean, he just took off and did his thing.
Like, what was your impression of him before he even started rapping? Like, were you looking at him like, wow? Because it just seemed like he had, like, a certain charisma, a certain energy around him, even when you take the music out of the equation. Did you kind of recognize that right away?
Nah, hell yeah, because, like, anybody that know him personally, you know, like, his vibe is different. Like, his spirit is, like, loud. Like, you feel me? He really one of them people, he come around and he had changed the whole aura in the room or changed the mood and shit, so before he even started rapping, that was just his vibe, period. So anything he did, for me, whether it was sports, games, being on the block, anything, for me, just how he talk is real, like, you feel it. So before he was rapping, he got that shit.
So you guys, like, were you there when he first started making music? Did you guys make music together super early on? Or?
Yeah, like, hell yeah, like, probably, like, I say, like, his fourth or fifth studio session we was in there making songs. I wasn't there the first song he made because, you know, I was doing what I was doing and shit, but I definitely heard the first song, like, his whole beginning of the career, I heard all that shit. He was sending to me, like, yo, bro, you fuck with this? Yo, how you feel about this? Like, yo, bro, this shit hot, right? Yo, I think I should drop this, like, so that's how it was on it.
Right, so with your, like, did you have any songs that were coming up on, like, a viral YouTube type level before, like, his movement started, or how was that unfolding?
No, we was dropping music and this shit in the hood. We had Flow Tastic TV, and that was, like, you can consider that the Brooklyn World Star type shit, like, for me, all okay. the new Brooklyn rappers, if you own that shit, niggas was tuned in, so that's where we used to drop our music, for me, around, like, 2017, 2018 and shit like that, that's where we was putting it at.
Okay, and so was the Wu thing, like, part of what brought y'all together? Is that a big part? Were you both repping that at that time? Is that something you just grew up with?
Yeah, like, you feel me, once we was on our Wu shit, it was like, you feel me, everything was just family, and the more people you meet, it's just all love. Like, we all really knew each other, but you feel me, just coming around, you know, is I don't gotta watch my back for nothing, because it's love, this family, and that's how we moved with it.
Right. Okay. So how did you guys, like, when did it start to seem like this is really becoming more of a real thing, like this, the music was actually going to a different level?
Shit, when Pop did what he did, like, when Welcome to the Party mm-hmm. really hit, we was like, oh shit, like, this shit real, like, he doing it, like, he, you feel me, he put this shit on a different level. It's not just hood shit no more, it's mainstream now. Mm-hmm. So he definitely opened the doors and made everybody see, like, yo, I take this shit serious now, so we could do what we gotta do.
Do you remember the first time you heard it?
Welcome to the Party?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the first time, it's a crazy story. First time I heard Welcome to the Party, I was taking this shit, right? And then, you feel me, it only had one verse on it. Uh-huh. So I heard the shit, and I called him. I'm like, yo, bro, the fuck is this? He like, yo, bro, I just made that shit. You feel me? You fucking with it? I'm like, yo, bro, I need to get on the second verse. He like, nah, bro, we got to do some other shit because I already got the second verse done. I just didn't finish it in the stool.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, bro, do that second verse now. Nah, that shit fire. He like, nah, I already got it. I'm about to go tonight. And then he laid it, and then that was it. But I already knew. Once I heard that shit, I was like, nah, this shit is crazy. Like, right. It was just different. I'm like, damn, like, there's some real party shit, like, this make me want to go get drunk right now, go outside and do some crazy shit. So
were you fucking with the Axl beats and the whole drill sound, like, prior to that, or was that something mm-hmm. that y'all sort of, like, came together with?
Nah, I was fucking with them before that, like, you feel me, because Axl tapped in with Brooklyn niggas a while back, and he was just hitting niggas like, yo, bro, I fuck with y'all, you feel me, I see y'all using some of my beats, like, you feel me, let's work together. So we've been, a lot of niggas had a relationship with Axl before he really took off and shit. Mm.
Yeah, because it's like, it's kind of crazy the extent to which that sound, like who are you paying attention to and, like, studying? Were you looking at the Chicago shit, or were you paying attention to, like, any of the London drill shit that was popping off before the Brooklyn wave really took over? Or, like, because it's kind of like something that you never really heard of before, to have, like, the main producer basically, like, engineering a whole sound for the city that's the home of hip-hop, but then meanwhile he ain't even been there. He's just on the other side of the world fucking supplying the sound.
I mean, shit, when I first started doing this shit, the people I was listening to definitely was like Chicago niggas, like, you know, everybody fucked with Chief Keef. Mm-hmm. Feel me? And then when I started rapping, I always wanted to be lyrical with the drill shit. So you feel me? I used to listen to a lot of Herbo. Like, I'm like, nah, this nigga be talking his shit. So for me, that's really tapped in with them. And then, like I said, just once Axl reached out, it was like, fuck it, bro, you got them beats we want. You fucking with us, like, let's do it.
Definitely. So, the Welcome to the Party comes out, and does that just kind of, like, change everything, like, from as soon as it's out, it just starts bubbling and, like, becomes a whole thing in New York?
Yeah, like, I believe he dropped the audio first, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he dropped the audio first, and then just the reaction was crazy. So, like, shit just changed for everybody around him and himself. So.
Right. Yeah, and, like, I remember going to Rolling Loud last year, and it had already been out for a while at that point, but it was, like, you know, I was never seen anything like that in New York in years and years, where it's just everywhere you went. Every fucking car, if you slow down on the highway, you're just hearing it banging out from mad cars. It's just, like, nothing we never really seen before.
Definitely a crazy vibe. Like, for me, he touched the people, and he had, like, that shit that niggas wanted to hear.
Mm. Did you guys feel like you were dealing with, because, you know, anytime that you're, like, associated with a gang and you have music blowing up that sort of advocates for it, you're gonna have, like, a reaction from people who don't fuck with that? Was that, like, something that you were feeling, like, from the beginning?
Nah, I feel like if your shit potent, they gonna fuck with it. Like, and it's simple as that. Niggas that hate you, if your shit good, they still play your shit. So we ain't really worried about nothing else.
Definitely. So how does your music, like, when did you guys end up actually making your first song together, or first song that came out on YouTube and shit soon after that?
Damn, the first song we made together, I can't even remember. I think the first official song we made together was Brush 'Em. Mm-hmm. And then, Feel me? We did that shit. We was just in the studio. He was popping his shit. I was popping my shit. And he like, all right, nigga, so let's just go back to back on the song. We gonna freestyle. I'm like, all right. He like, nigga, you can't freestyle. I'm like, nigga, you can't freestyle. You feel me? So we just on some bro shit, just amping each other. Mm-hmm. And then we got in the studio and we made that shit. You feel me? But then we did a video to it. And then we didn't like the video. Really? So we just like, fuck the video. You feel me? And then we never really got to redo that shit or how we wanted to do it because it got leaked. Uh-huh. And then we was just on some like, all right, fuck it. We just gonna keep working. We just gonna keep working.
Right. So which was the first video that came out with both of you in it?
The video, we never dropped the video.
But you have other videos together, right?
Nah, we just did a bunch of songs and we never got to shoot the videos.
Oh, okay. Maybe they were like fucking, what is it, like fan videos on YouTube? They're taking clips and putting them together?
Yeah.
Damn, they duped me. Damn, that's crazy. Okay, but so the Welcome to the Party video shoot was, what was that experience like? Because we'll get to it in a second, but there's like a super viral clip of you wilding out after the video shoot. But was there anything in particular about, because you shot that video like right in Canarsie, like at all the local spots you guys be at and shit, right?
Welcome to the Party. That shit was in the hood, but the first day, like that was a couple day shoot, you feel me? Uh-huh. The first day we did that shit in Long Island, and then that shit was crazy. It was like a Project X vibe, like whatever you could imagine, that's what that shit had there. So it was crazy, and then my dumb ass, like, you feel me? I was just drunk, I was high, and then I got into an argument with the police, and then they fucking, like, he was just giving me mad racist remarks and shit, and I wasn't going for that, so then niggas ran up on me, pepper sprayed me. I tried to run.
You did the mad dash. I actually thought you were getting out of there. You were going fast as fuck.
I got out of there, but I ended up running past the house that we just came out of, and it was already officers there. So when I ran past the house, the other officer just tackled me. Boom. Tackled me, punched me a couple of times. Like, where you going?
I was watching that like, where the fuck is he going to go? Like in Long Island.
Yo,
like,
listen, we was in Long Island. I was going to run all the way back to Canarsie.
I was thinking, just camp out somewhere and you could get an Uber. It's going to be an expensive-ass Uber, but you could probably pull it off, right?
I wasn't even thinking. I was just trying to get away. I'm like, yo, these niggas.
Right. Crazy. So, like, did people start tapping in pretty early on in terms of, like, fucking bigger artists and stuff? Like, we obviously see, like, a million bigger artists tap in over the course of his short career, but mm-hmm. like, did you start? And obviously, the label attention must have started pouring in as well.
Yeah, I mean, so I feel like I wouldn't say, I don't know how early it was they tapped in, but when they did, it was a swarm of everybody. Like, because once you, like I said, once you meet him, his energy is real genuine, and it's like it just be stuck with you. Like, you feel it. So you feel me? I know, like, once he met a couple people, they was always gonna fuck with him type shit.
Mm. Yeah, and that was really, we were having this conversation earlier, but like, there was a level to which a lot of people, including like people from New York, when they first heard Welcome to the Party or Dior, they didn't really understand the fucking sound that they were hearing because it was something so different, so new. And I don't know, like a lot of people kind of forget about the fact that like, if you want to really be that huge artist that's gonna fucking change things, you have to do something fundamentally different. Mm-hmm. And was that something y'all were like conscious of, the fact that there was like a new sound really bubbling up?
Damn, that's, I just say he knew what he had, like, so he just knew, like, yo, I gotta get this out there because the sound is different. Like, it was different, so he knew.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Definitely. So by the time the Dior video came out, what was that transition like? Because by that point, it must have been a totally different level of attention and shit.
It was already stardom for him. Like, it was just crazy. Like, that's when he come outside, all the kids coming out of school to come see him. They don't give a fuck if school not finished. They come in if they hear Pop Smoke outside. Like, for me, stopping traffic. Like, for me, just regular star shit. Like, for me, walking around, he got the city. So
definitely,
it was crazy.
So you caught a gun charge from that clip though? I forgot to ask. You caught a gun charge when you were running away from the cops at that moment?
Yeah, they charged me with a possession of a weapon, attempt possession of a weapon, and then like two assault charges on the officer and then resisting arrest, all the bullshit.
So what happened with all that? How long you sitting there?
I fucking bailed out. Like, I went to the county and shit. I was in the county for like 3 days and then I bailed out. And then I just fought the case.
And you beat it?
I beat it. I had to cop out to something, but I, like, for me, you could basically say I beat it.
But you didn't.
I ain't had to do no time.
Right.
Yeah.
How the fuck you beat it?
Cause I had a video. Pop sent me a video of, like, they, like, the assaults was the main thing, cause the attempt possession of a weapon is, I think that's a misdemeanor still. So the assaults on the officer is like what was they was really trying to slay me with and shit. But I had a video showing that I didn't hit nobody.
Yeah.
So when I went to court, like, we was fighting and shit, back and forth, back and forth. Then we presented the video. Then they had to drop the charges, and then they made me, for me, cop out to a lesser charge.
Right, because if you had done anything violent to the cops, I mean, in the video, you see everything from you arguing with them to them tackling you. So it's not like you really would have been able to do anything that wasn't on camera.
Yeah, so I had it on video, but it took me a while to get the video. So that's why I was going back and forth to court show. They probably would have bended that, but.
That's crazy. I would think that video would be viral as soon as it fucking happened.
Shit happens.
Shit happens. All right, so, all right, like, from your perspective, though, how did you think about what you were doing with your career? Because you have your man's, like, exploding, and obviously that a lot of good things are coming your way via that, too. But, like, what was your mentality on how you're going to approach your music in the face of his shit exploding so fast?
Keep working, because he never once did what he did and then, like, forgot about me type shit, you feel me? And then, like, whatever he learned, he had just hit me and just tell me, like, yo, bro, I ain't going to front. I was in the office and we was talking about this, so I learned this about the game, so you should try this, so you feel me, like little shit like that. He always kept me in the loop what he was doing, so it was like, all right, I'm gonna just keep working, eventually I'll get there. So that's how we attacked it.
That's really interesting, because I was hearing that story about how he had a meeting with 50 and he had like 50 thought he was just like talking on his phone or some shit, but he was actually writing notes about the shit 50 was saying to him and shit. So that's really interesting that, like, he was so aware of the fact that he was around people that he could learn from and shit.
Real aware, like he's smart, like he remember a lot of shit. So you feel me? That shit is crazy with that nigga right there, boy.
Damn. So did you feel like you guys were getting an outrageous amount of attention from the police from early on? Because that was kind of a theme throughout his career as well.
Mm-hmm. I said, like, that's what come with it. So, like, it ain't really bother us. I can't really speak for him, but from my perspective, it didn't look like it really bothered him, because it was like that when niggas wasn't rapping. Like, if you known in the hood, police on you. So you got to think, if I become bigger with music, it's going to be the same shit and it's just going to grow greater. So.
Right. But when something happened, like the Rolling Loud situation where you got taken off the bill, was that even surprising to you, or was that something that at that point you were kind of expecting that shit to happen?
It was like, it was something like an expectation. You just pray for the best, like, yo, feel me? We hope they don't take bro shit off, or you feel me? He hoping, like, nah, I hope they don't take my shit off. But, you know, that's what the police do. They trying to stop our money. They don't want to see us win, so that is what it is.
Definitely. So there's, like, a tricky part in any rapper's life where they start to, like, really get the attention and shit, but maybe they don't necessarily have, like, the money to get out of the hood right away. Mm-hmm. Was it that kind of vibe where it was, like, you guys are getting way too much attention, but then also it's, like, you know, you're still in that area that you came up in?
Nah, I feel like it was just more about comfortability. Like, if you comfortable where you at, then you good. But if you feel like you're not comfortable, then I feel like both of us, we was in a position to change our surroundings if that's what we niggas wanted. So it's just like, if you comfortable in the hood, or if you feel me, then you good there.
Because you were telling me you stay out here now.
Yeah, I stay out here now.
When did you make that decision?
Came out here. I really been out here since like 2017, back and forth.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, a long time.
Why? What were you doing out here in terms of business and shit? Or like, what made you want to make that move?
Just because since I was younger, like I lived on my own and shit. So me and my dogs, you feel me? We did what we did to get our money up, and then it was like, yo, the cribs is kind of cheaper out here and shit. Let's just get a crib. We always gonna go back to the hood and shit, but it's like, let's get somewhere where we could vacate, I like have fun, enjoy where we are and shit like that. But as far as business wise, it took me a while, because my problem was I was rapping, But I was still doing like street shit. Like I still, for me, I never gave rapping my all. Like as much as I put out a whole bunch of music, cause making music is easy for me. But I never had the time to really sit down and game plan a situation for myself and shit. It was just like, all right, yo, I'm gonna go to the studio. I'm gonna do these songs and then I'm shoot the video. I'm gonna go back to the hood and I'm gonna do what I gotta do. So it was that type of vibe.
Compare New York to California though, in terms of like the lifestyle. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, everybody talks about L.A., like, it's so crazy, but there's a lot of different parts of California you can live in. They're a lot more laid back than being in the city.
Yeah, hell yeah. And that's what I like about it. Like, I mean, you go up north a little bit, and for me, shit is just calm. It's just, ain't shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like about California. It's really a getaway for me.
Definitely. So, okay, what is stuff like? Like, what's pop charts like, torn and being out here all the time and stuff? Were you just kind of consistently, like it's kind of an interesting situation to be in that position. Like, were you just trying to be around and just sap up as much game as possible that you could from the situations that he was ending up in? Or what was the thought process?
Yeah, like that. And that was all him. Like, he had called me, like, yo, bro, why the fuck why you not here? Or, why you not pulling up on me? And I'm like, yo, bro, I'm working. I'm doing. He's like, nah, bro. Like, you from? You gotta be around. So he wanted that for me. Like, yo, come around and learn what you could learn and take it and use it for you. Like, whether he in the studio working with another artist, whether he talking about his merch, whether he doing anything, he'd just be like, yo, you from me? Like, yo, bro, if you could pull up right now, so you could see what's going on, so you get the pictures. So when it's your time to step in this shit, you ain't gonna be no fool about it.
Mm. So was that kind of your thought process? Is that you were basically building something up but you were waiting for the right time to really start going hard with your career? Like, obviously, not, putting out videos and like doing your thing, but like in terms of like a more major push or something.
I mean, like that was always my plan. Like, you feel me? Just when I got the time to take it serious, but him doing what he did definitely fast forwarded that plan. Like, I was like, oh shit. Like, he like, yo, bro, like, you can't play. You gotta do it now. So, and I was on the same time, like, I do gotta do it now because it's now or never, you feel me? You put us in a position where it's like the opportunity is here for everybody right now. You kicking in the doors for us. So it was like, yeah, let me do what I gotta do right now.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever tell you, was there any like particular like wisdom or anything he shared with you, like in terms, because he's just like meeting with all the, at this point in his career, he's meeting with so many fucking big name artists and people in the industry and stuff. Like, was there anything in particular that stood out to you in terms of like advice or anything like that?
Damn, we talk so much, it's like, can't remember anything, but it's like, it's just work. Like, he was big on like, bro, just work. When you not working, work. Like, for me, he just keep working, you only gonna get better. So, and that's stuck with me now. Like, I'm a studio junkie now. Like, I always wanna just work. If I'm not in the studio, I need to find a song that I just shoot the video to so I have it in the stash, or for me, who I could network with and shit like that, because he was heavy on that. Like, yo, bro, just work.
Was it hard for you guys to sort of leave some of the street stuff behind in terms of, was that like a very real conversation about like, we gotta stop doing this, it's too hot for us to be doing this?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was hard, because it's like, we doing street shit and the outcome we want out of street shit is overall money. So now we getting the money, it ain't hard to leave that shit alone. It's just, you feel me, just stay on alert, don't lose your street sense, but definitely fall back off of it so you could do what you gotta do, because the object right here is to get more money and become rich.
Yeah, I was one time, I was in a label, or I wasn't there, but my friend, he was at a label, and he's just in the elevator, and this is, he gets in the elevator, and then it stops at one floor, and Pop gets in. It's like an elevator that's in like a building that has labels in it and shit, and then Pop gets in, and my homie's just like, oh man, Pop, like, I fucks with you. Like, this is when he was early on, but like still already had hits out and shit, and then the elevator stops at another floor, the doors open, Pop sees somebody that he has issues with, and he just immediately gets off the elevator and beats the dog shit out of him. And I only feel comfortable even saying this because he's gone. But when I met Pop, that was the first thing I said, is I was like, yo, my friend told me a story about you. Can you confirm this? And he just couldn't stop laughing. He's like, man, yeah, that's real. He's like, yeah, I can't believe you know about that. That's fucked up.
Oh, yeah, we definitely ain't giving no passes. Like, you feel me? We stand on that. So the money change our situation, it don't change us. So like you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely, I could verify that shit. And I wasn't there, because I know, like, she wanted them, you own them.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, so I guess we got to fast forward a little bit, but like, how did you find out about what happened to him out here, and where were you when that occurred?
I was in a studio, And then I actually had just called my Uber, got in the cab, and then they had wrote it in the group chat, like, yo, something had to pop. I'm like, what? I'm like, yo, just get the information, find the details on the shit. Like an hour later, niggas like, yo, I heard you got shot. So I'm like, call his phone, he didn't pick up. So I'm like, yo, like, what the fuck? I'm like, this shit real, niggas is playing. So I didn't know what to think. For me, I just was chilling. I'm like, damn, like, I don't want to overthink. Like, I don't want to, ain't no facts yet.
Right.
And then once everybody started making them calls and shit, then it was like, all right, for me, popped out. And then I was like just stuck. Like, I couldn't even.
Right.
Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this shit fake. And then after that, you know, tears follow up after that, and you just think, like for real, like, I don't know. Shit was just unbelievable. Like, for me, some shit that I ain't never think of happen.
Right. So what were those next few days of your life like? Are you just like, fuck, I guess I should be around the guys or the family, or like try to, like, you want to help, but mm-hmm. it's at the same time, what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, like, it was definitely like that. Like, it was definitely on some, like, for me, let me go check the people I got to check, you feel me? But I was just so hurt at the point. I was like, I didn't know who to be around or how to react. Like, you just don't know what's going on. So it's just like, for me, you just kind of stuck. Like, you just, at that point, I was just living. Like, I ain't had no plans to do none of that. I was just like, shit, fuck it. Like, I'm just taking it day by day. Like, you feel me? Because the shit hurt.
Yeah. No, it's super fucked up. Okay, but so in terms of like it's a crazy ass day for us to be doing this interview and shit, because today the cops in LA actually announced that they had arrested 5 people and they're starting to come out with details. So like right now we know that they're saying that it wasn't people that he previously had issues with. It's just people who found the address via Airbnb. So was that news to you, or was that like kind of what you guys had assumed or expected the answer to be?
I mean, that's news to me because I was in the dark with the situation. I ain't get no information on how it was going on, so that's new news to me.
Because we're all like observing the situation, and it's kind of like when you think about New York gangbanging, you don't think of that shit necessarily mattering that much in LA. Like people, you know, it's like a different world in New York in a lot of ways. So like, I mean, like what was that feeling like? Because obviously you're angry and you want to know how this happened, but at the same time you're pretty much totally in the dark about it.
Yeah, like, but that was, even though I was in the dark, you feel me, it's like you still search for information in the ways that you able to do shit, you feel me? Because never in a lifetime will I allow some shit like that to happen and then not be on it, you feel me? But you know how social media is today, it's hard to, you feel me? You can't really do nothing, so you feel me? You take the right precautions when you doing shit, but
yeah, when you heard about the fact that the address leaked on social media, though, is that just kind of like, it feels like that's kind of maybe a product of the fact that he was so new to being famous and shit that he wasn't necessarily thinking about that stuff as being as dangerous as it could be.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like, that's some shit you don't even think about. Like, that's why it's so crazy, because it's like, you're just taking a picture. You don't even really, you're not thinking, like,
that people are going to be uncovering clues and figuring shit out.
You don't think that far ahead, especially when you not where you feel like you in danger or you should be looking over your shoulder and shit. So that situation is just crazy.
Yeah, that's super fucked up. And the other thing that came out today is that some people are speculating that Pop actually shot one of the dudes when this situation went down. Is that news to you as well?
Yeah, I don't know about that because I wasn't there, and they didn't announce that, so shit, that's new news to me too.
Does that in any way make the situation feel like it makes more sense? Because that was like a lot of the conversation going around about it was just like, you know, like how could he have been in that situation without security or without somebody watching over and protecting him or whatever?
I mean, that shit don't make more sense to me because none of this shit makes sense at all, you feel me? That whole shit to me is like, it's an unbelievable story, so nothing makes sense to me. So I ain't believing shit because I wasn't there. You feel me? So everybody can have their stories or what they assume and shit. We don't know. We wasn't there.
How has it been seeing the city react to it and really like almost like, you know, he's turned into like such a god of the city. Like his image is like immortal. It feels like it's going to be the kind of thing like with Biggie or Pac or whatever, where it's just going to, I don't know. It's hard to imagine the city like moving on or forgetting how much of an impact he made during his short time being in the starlight.
Nah, like, I feel like the city will probably never forget him. And then as long as I'm alive, I'm going to make sure niggas don't forget him. Because, you feel me, that's my brother at the end of the day. So I feel like he'll do the same for me. So, you feel me, I'm going to definitely do that. And it's like, I really, it's a good vibe. Like, when you in the city and you just see, like, everybody playing his shit, everybody got on his merch, like, niggas is really doing this for Pop Smoke. And for me, that's ultimately what he wanted. Like, he wanted the hood to come together. He wanted New York to be a different vibe. So it's like, we accomplished that. He accomplished that. So, you feel me? I know, you feel me, he looking down, he proud, and he achieved his goal. So that's definitely good.
Definitely. So, like, your album, was it Woo Forever?
Yeah.
So what, you know, you go into that project thinking that, you know, you want to honor his name and you want to make the album, like, sort of pay tribute in a way? Like, what was your mentality in terms of putting out your first project after he passed?
I mean, like, yeah, it was definitely, like, definitely going to honor my brother, like, going to shout him out for me, because that's what he do. But it's still, like, in the back of my head, it still work. You feel me? And we had that type of relationship. Like, if something happened, and you feel me, like, and niggas is sad or mad, nigga, he'll hit, yo, Rod, stop being a bitch, bro. Like, stop moving like that, bro. Like, you gangster, bro. Like, don't, you feel me? So that's playing back in my head, too. Like, nigga don't want me crying and shit. He don't want me sad all day. Like, you feel me? Yeah, nigga, get in your bag. Like, for me? That's what I told you to do anyway. Get in your bag. So it's like, I worked on that tape. I had that shit done in about a month and a half, and it was just like, all right, I'm definitely gonna make bro a part of this, and then I'm gonna let the people know how I'm coming too. Like, we definitely gonna continue doing this.
Do you have unreleased songs with him that you weren't able to put on the project because of label shit?
I got a couple unreleased songs with him, but I wouldn't say it was a problem with label shit. It's just for me waiting on the time and working everything out appropriately.
Yeah, because it's always like, I mean, the labels, the way they act about like letting anything out from an artist when they first pass is, it can just be crazy as fuck.
Yeah, I already know that shit hectic.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, but so in terms of his album, there's been like a bunch of conversation about, you know, basically like none of the Brooklyn artists being featured on it and shit. Cowboy was, well, he's not from Brooklyn, but he was very vocal about not being appreciative of the fact that he got removed from the album. Mm-hmm. Do you respect that? You feel like the album should have been maybe more true to some of the shit that he was doing during his life? Or do you think that, you know, it makes sense to you because it's just, you know, the label's going to do what they're going to do with it?
Like, yeah, like, in this situation, I feel like do what's best for Pop Smoke. Feel me? Whatever's going to feed his family best, keep his name living longer, and, like, do what's best for Pop Smoke. So if they feel like having Brooklyn drill rappers on the album wasn't what's best for him, then fuck it. For me, that's for them to decide. So I don't feel no type of way about it or nothing. It's just like, for me, I'm a stand on do what's best for Pop Smoke.
Yeah, because there's been like a lot of little controversies popping up where people want to have opinions about different things going on in terms of how his image and his you know, whole movement has been represented after the fact. Like, there was the whole conversation about the Virgil designed album cover that people weren't fucking with at first. Like, did you agree with any of that criticism? And do you feel like it's even like cool for the fans to have opinions about stuff like that?
I mean, I feel like people gonna have their opinions. You feel me? He not here to say if he would have liked it or not. So it's like, your opinion is your opinion. Some people said they liked it. Not a lot of people said they liked it, but some people said they liked it. So I feel like the opinion is the opinion, and whether or not if they should have, I don't know. That's crazy right there. I got mixed emotions about that. I feel like it was a good thing that the fans was involved, and then I feel like on the other hand, it could have been cool if nobody knew. So for me, it's a toss up.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, you guys' music has become so big that you got all kinds of random-ass kids in Germany who got opinions and shit. It's not just, like, the city. It's, like, anyone in the whole world can just be voicing their opinions about it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. One of the other craziest things I've seen, too, is just the fact that on Twitter right now, if you do hashtag Woo, mm-hmm. it puts the fucking image of his head.
Yeah.
I only seen them do that for a couple things in the history of Twitter. Like, that's crazy.
See, that's, I fuck with that shit.
Yo.
I seen that shit. I'm like, nah, that's a big move right there. Like, that's fire.
I'm like, man, does Twitter realize that they're kind of sort of like getting in on the gangbanging right here? I don't know if Twitter really understood what that meant. If
shout out to Twitter. Twitter on a lot of woo shit. Hashtag woo.
Yeah, that's got to be rough if you're on the other side, huh?
We ain't worried about them.
Okay, so a couple of bars like stood out to me on your album, though, is one when you said, I'm fucking this bitch from the front and I got her toe in my mouth. I was like, oh, this is a different kind of guy right here. That's a different type of lyric right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally you got to just, is that an example of you just keeping it super real, or are you just trying to make people laugh with that?
That's real shit. Like, you see me? Yeah. That's my girl.
I've been there too. Yeah, that's my girl.
For me, you know, my girl, real shit.
Shit happens. I noticed you had like a poker bar in there too. You said something about ace, king, queen, jack, ten suited.
Uh-huh.
Where that come from?
Poker.
You play poker?
Nah, never played poker in my life.
You just know the words?
Yeah. Okay. I just knew like, what's that shit called? Where you got all them cards? Or a royal flush or something like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just knew like that, so I just... I ain't gonna lie, I probably Googled this shit to make sure it was right. I can't remember right now, but I probably did that. And I was just like, I got a poker ball. Like, I just, that's how I make my music. Like, I just see shit. I probably seen like a poker commercial, so I don't know. And it's right. Like, shit, I'm gonna put that in a ball.
Have you ever gone through time periods where it was hard for you to like be motivated to record, or where it didn't necessarily like feel right? Like, was putting this project together a struggle at all, or was it, did it feel normal?
This project itself, it wasn't a struggle because I was in go mode. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like for me, it's I got to do it now. I got to step up to the plate. No matter how anybody else feel, what they say, I got to do this for bro. So I was really locked in. Like, I had the tape done and didn't even realize because I over-recorded. Like, I had like 30 songs. And it was like, oh, shit, like, we got a project here. Like, let's pick these songs out and put it in a project. So it was just straight work for me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So what are you planning on doing in terms of promoting this project and shit? Are you just like shooting a bunch of videos right now? You got a whole plan coming out with it and shit?
Yeah, like I got 2 videos done off of it. I'm gonna shoot another one. And then I'll probably leave it at that. 3 videos, you feel me? 10 songs, 3 videos, probably leave it at that. And then we just gonna keep moving how we moving. Like, I feel like we doing it right now with marketing and pushing it.
Definitely. You got any other like artists that you're still closely affiliated with out of the whole Brooklyn scene and shit? Like, is there anybody in particular that you're really still working with and shit?
Yeah, like, shout out Jay Guapo.
Mm-hmm.
It's my dog.
He's on the album, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Me and him got a lot of shit coming. Favi, yo, that's my dogs right there. Chef G, Sleepy Hollow.
Shout out Chef G. It's
my boys right there, you feel me? And then if you want me to list all of the woos, let me just shout my boys out now. Fetty Luciano, Young Castamato, Sosa Geek. You got Curly Shive, that's my brother right there. You got my boy Zay G. You got Daffy Woo, Dread Woo. It's a lot of us.
Matty G's?
Matty G's, who that?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's this white kid who's like, he's always gangbanging on Instagram and shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Matty G's from Instagram.
Yeah, and he was burning the fucking other side flags and shit. But then I heard that his dad like stopped him, like, no, you're not allowed to gangbang anymore. You took away the privileges.
I mean,
it's actually kind of fucked up. I'm even mentioning him on here because who the fuck is this kid? But I mean,
yeah, like, shout out to Matty G.
Whenever I meet anybody from Brooklyn, when I was meeting with Billy Otto and Sego Billy, I brought him up. They could not believe that I knew who the fuck that was. They were laughing so hard.
You had to catch me fast. Matty, shout out to Matty G's though for making it on No Jumper. Shout out to you, Matty G's.
That's real. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you feel like shit been moving slow in New York in terms of everything, in terms just with the whole pandemic and shit being shut down? Has that kind of changed the vibe in the city? Must have been a weird summer in comparison.
Yeah, hell yeah. Like, that shit whack. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, you know, everybody used to being outside. Don't get into the room. Like, in the hood, niggas is still outside. Yeah. Like, we ain't following no rules. But it's just like the stores is shut down. You can't go shopping. You can't go to get nothing to eat. You can't do nothing. So like that shit is really whack. And you know, for artists, like, that shit stopping our shows and shit. Like, we trying to get outside and perform and shit. So
definitely. Yeah, one thing I seen that I thought was kind of crazy is that you had 6ix9ine basically like showing Pop mad love, acting like this is one of his favorite rappers or whatever. Mm. And then the album comes out and Pop's got lyrics where he's just basically clowning him.
Say no rainbow head shit.
that part, yeah.
That's it.
How do you feel about that, though? Is that, like, is there any chance of I don't know, like, was there any chance of them having been cool in reality? Like, if 6ix9ine was locked up during Pop's Rise and everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if Sun ain't do what he did, maybe.
Maybe.
But, we street niggas before anything. We don't tell.
It's not happening.
So, with that situation coming into life, niggas never get up a boy. So, I mean, if you fuck with him, you fuck him. That's good. Like, you know, like, definitely support him. Do it. Like, his shit is dope. Why not fuck with him? But
definitely.
That's it.
Does it blow your mind that 50 ended up being involved so much in the project? And, like, just because that's, you know, coming from a person your age, like, you know, that was like a god of rap when you were a kid and shit.
And it's not surprising, though, because I feel like it was going to happen eventually. Like, whether it would have been a song or just something, them working together. So it wasn't surprising that he did jump on it, because I know somebody had to tell 50 how Pop felt about him. Because if you knew Pop, you know how he felt about 50. So it was like, I was happy to see 50 for me, did what he did. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely some shit Pop would have wanted.
Right. Yeah, that shit's crazy, because I remember having that conversation super early on after hearing the first couple big Pop singles, where it was like, man, this shit reminds me of, like, when 50 was coming out, in terms of, like, having that energy coming out of New York.
I mean, like, Pop definitely looked up to 50, like, so he gave you that vibe. Like, 50 was that guy for all of us. Like, me and him had arguments, like, nigga, I know more 50 Cent songs than you. Like, nigga, I know more G-Unit songs than you. Like, we had them arguments, so, like, 50 definitely had a big impact on all of us.
Who's winning the versus battle, 50 or T.I.?
50.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No offense to T.I.
No offense to T.I., but, you know, I'm from New York. I don't even know no T.I. songs. I probably know, like, two of them.
Bring them out.
That's T.I.? But that's Jay-Z on the hook.
Yeah, but I think he sampled. You're right, though. It's still in New York W.
That's it. Come on. And I ain't gonna lie, T.I. got Top Back. I used to listen to Top Back when I was a kid.
Yeah, T.I. got a lot of classic songs. I was personally probably feel closer to the 50 hits, just because, you know, being from the East Coast, that seemed extra special. Yeah.
You got that, though.
So what else are you working on? What do the people out there need to know about you in terms of staying in the loop?
I'm just, right now I'm in the recording process of just going crazy again. I'm back in work mode. If I want to drop another project right now, I could. So, you feel me? I'm just working, and then we're going to map out the next project. But staying in tune with me is, like, just, for me, stay in tune with any one of the Wu's. The Wu's is doing it. You want me to shout myself up?
Hell yeah.
All right. Follow me on Instagram at Rod Swish. Twitter, NBA. Whoa, that's my old Twitter. Ooh. Twitter, real Rod Swish. You feel me? And then we just doing it big. We taking this Wu shit to the top. Pop put us in a great position to win, and we gonna win like we supposed to. That's what he wanted to do, so we gonna keep it going.
Hell yeah. Yeah, rest in peace to Pop, man. I'm glad that we could get your perspective on not just your career, but his career, and you know, just somebody like who made such an impact on the culture in the short time that he was in the spotlight. It's kinda, you know, it's good to have that on record.
Nah, definitely.
Yeah, well,
boy, do his thing.
Appreciate your time, man. It was good to have you on here, and sorry for your loss.
Appreciate you for having me, man. You know, we're gonna take this to the top one more time. Rest in peace, Pop Smoke. Rest in peace, KJ Baller. You know,
and go mess with my man's album too. That shit was hard.
Woo,
woo. Appreciate y'all. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Rest in peace, Pop Smoke.
Gang shit.
Appreciate y'all.